The second scripture reading this morning is from Romans 8, 18 through 25, and up on the screen or in your pew Bible. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently.
Amen.
May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Yeah. Thank you, Deb. You know, you and I are used to things being a certain way. We don't even realize it sometimes, but it's funny, even when you live in different areas of our world, you're used to things a certain way, and other people come into your sphere of whatever and realize that you do things differently. It's funny, when we had our daughter-in-law Megan up on the family here this past week, and we just enjoyed a bunch of time together with the whole family. Megan would always laugh at almost every meal we had a casserole. There was a breakfast casserole for one of our breakfasts. We had summer squash casserole, and we had a bean casserole. And she says, "You guys up north have casseroles for everything." Apparently down there in Florida where she lives, casseroles aren't a part of what they do. Although Matt says, "Well, every now and then they have something like with okra in it or something." And I'm like, "Okra? I don't even know what okra is. I mean, I've heard of it." But that's kind of what their casserole may be. But they do not really have casseroles like we do here up north. Well, I thought it was normal. I grew up with casseroles. I mean, most of you around here, you grown up with casseroles? Okay. So we're in that familiar territory. We kind of know what it is because we're a part of it. And you know how we are, so set in our ways sometimes. I wanted to share with you a message this morning that actually was inspired by an article I read by a United Methodist clergy person, Carolyn Moore. So I want to acknowledge that's where I at least got some ideas from this as I go through this morning. And it has to do with the way it used to be. Now, we could talk about the way it used to be in terms of, well, you know, 50 years ago things were like this and now things are like that. And we could talk about how it was when we were growing up and how it is growing up today. And we've had many of those conversations over the years of how things were and how things are. And sometimes you might say how things were better then and they're worse now, or they might be better now and worse then. And some of that has to do with your own personal journey, whatever it is. Sometimes the way it used to be was pretty crappy. And now, perhaps because we are in a new chapter in our life, things have gotten better because at least now I have Christ by my side. And I didn't have that when I was going through an earlier stage in my life. And there are some who perhaps say, you know, life was so good back then, but I've been through a lot of tragedy lately. And life is a little bit more difficult. We talk about that. We use that term. Another term we use oftentimes, too, in the Church of Jesus Christ is we never did it that way before. Well, I wanted to go way back to the beginning this morning. Genesis 3, we talked a little bit about Genesis 3 this morning. It was the first text that was read, and this was Genesis 3, shortly after Adam and Eve had blown it in the garden. And God was in the garden walking around and kind of looking for them because they were hiding. And they were hiding because they had blown it. And they used to be naked, and unashamed. But now, after they had disobeyed God, they realized their own shame and their disobedience to Him. And now Adam and Eve were hiding amongst the bushes as the Lord was passing by. And as you know, the conversation goes, he asks about them and how they're doing. And have you eaten from the tree I told you not to? Of course, He knows the answer to that question. But you know how that story goes. There was a time, the way it used to be, that was different than it is now. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. The way it used to be. I don't know the way it used to be because I wasn't living back then. I wasn't living back before Adam and Eve blew it. I've been living since then where I have blown it, and each and every one of you have blown it as well. But there's something about living in today's world and living in the context of the Church of Jesus Christ that we at least can have some glimpses of the way it used to be before the fall. But we're reminded also in Scripture that because you and I live in a fallen world where we are prone to sin, where we have to fight that temptation each and every day of our life, that in Christ, now we see but a poor reflection, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, then we shall see face to face. We have a piece of the way it used to be, but because we still live in a fallen world, it isn't perfect. But it will be. One day, it will be. And I do think as the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to do the best we can to make it as much like it used to be as we possibly can. Because that honors God. And that's what He wants us to do. I think in this case, we could say always the way it used to be was better than it is today. The way it used to be before the fall is better than it is today. But that doesn't mean that living in today's world is lost and living in today's world is like, oh, no. Because as we live in Jesus Christ, we get a glimpse of the way it used to be. And living in Jesus Christ, we can look forward to one day when it will be, once again, the way it used to be before the fall. I look forward to that. What I wanted to do this morning is to kind of share with us the difference between the way it was and the way it is now, and then give us hope at the end of the message. You see, it used to be a partnership. It used to be a partnership. God wanted a love partnership from the beginning. When He created Adam and Eve and everything else that was created, and of course when He said Adam and Eve, He said when He created them, it was very good. There's something about us that's more special than anyone else in all of creation. You are special, really special in God's creation. He wanted a partnership. Even though He was creator, in a sense, He gave us the ability to be co-creators with Him, even in the act of procreation. It's a part of what we do as we partner with the God of the universe. He even told Adam, name the animals, rule over them, take care of God's creation. These were all things that Adam was instructed to do before the fall and likewise after. Before the fall, everything was in harmony. Before the fall, everything was perfect. Before the fall, everything was perfect. After the fall, there was a struggle. He created man to take care of woman and woman to take care of man. There was, in a sense, a mutual thing going on there, because when He created Adam, He says, Adam needs a helpmate. Adam needs someone to be with him. Adam needs someone to be there for him and to take care of him. Likewise, He can take care of them. What happened after the fall? Partnership change to hierarchy. After the fall, what happened was, I want you to take care of me. After the fall, I want to be boss. You serve me. Harmony was gone. After the fall, what it was meant to be like no longer was that way anymore. And so after the fall, Life seemed to be all about living for me. Life seemed to be about hierarchy. Life seemed to be the survival of the fittest. Life seemed to be all about me. And you see, before the fall, it was all about partnership. You know, if you're in a true partnership with someone else, you are very interested in what goes on with the partner, aren't you? If you're in a true partnership with someone else, then you want what's best for that other person. And likewise, in a true partnership, that partner wants what's best for you. How many times partnerships don't work that way, do they? How many times partnerships really work in a different kind of way? Eventually, one of the person wants more than the other person wants. And you know, all the things that go on in those kinds of things. Hey, talk about marriage. Talk about marriage is a partnership. And yet, what marriage sometimes becomes is hierarchy. I just want the other one to do for me. And I don't put much effort into doing for the other. You see, what started out as a partnership after the fall became hierarchy. But in Christ, we can be brought back to some degree, in a progressive kind of way, as we continue to be more deeply involved in a relationship with Jesus Christ, it can get back to partnership. Where I'm thinking about the other and not just me. Here's another difference between the way it used to be and the way it is now. Relationship became competition. That's kind of similar to what I was just saying in a way. But relationship became competition. God didn't create us as His toys to play with, as some make it out to be. God wasn't bored up there in heaven saying, you know what, I got to do something because I'm just bored. So I'm going to create a world and create some animals and do some things and light and darkness and all that sort of stuff. And then I'm going to create these little human beings and just watch them do their thing. You know, like the little Lego things that you put together and make different kinds of things. That wasn't the way God wanted it. And if you're thinking that way, you're all wrong. God, when He created humanity, He wanted a relationship. He wanted a love relationship with humanity. That's why He created us the way He did. Because, I mean, God in His wisdom realized that if I'm going to create someone who can love me, I got to create someone who also has the opportunity to not love me, to despise me, to disobey me. God knew when He created Adam and Eve that eventually was going to happen. But He had a plan to fix that issue in Jesus Christ. He eventually fixed that issue. You see, when God created, the way it used to be, love was at the center. Love was at the center of all that was going on. Everything was about that love relationship. There was no sin, and if there was no sin, there was no selfishness. Can you imagine a world where there's no selfishness? I'll confess. I had a wedding yesterday, and the reception, I was hungry. And so shortly after, the wedding party went to get their food, and they didn't really have an order for which we do that. My table, they kind of encouraged me. Let's kind of head on up there and get in line right away before everybody else does, because that was kind of selfish. Probably me before the fall, I wouldn't have been that way. I'd say, everybody else, you go ahead and eat, I'll just wait. But no, there's a bit of selfishness in me. It was good food, by the way. But I had to wait for the cake. It always ought to be in the contract for a pastor when they're doing the service, when they go to the reception, you got to have the cake cut within a half an hour after you go up to eat the meal, because I have to have my dessert soon after. They wait so long so many times at these receptions. Anyone in agreement with me? You see, relationship after the fall became competition. Now it's no longer about the other. It's about me. That relationship gets ruined when it's all about me. That's why marriages don't last. That's why relationships crumble. I want more out of this instead of I want to put more into this. Wouldn't it be a wonderful world if we were more about the latter rather than the former? Again, I want more out of this instead of I want to put more into this. Boy, did God put a lot into it Himself, didn't He? He put a lot more into the relationship than we did. He invested wholly and completely into that relationship. We see that on the cross at Calvary. He paid an awful price because he loves us so much. And he wanted it to be back the way it used to be, and it will be eventually. And in the interim, we can get there somewhat. That's what I want to encourage the Church of Jesus Christ to be about in that interim. Let's make it sort of like that, even though we'll never be perfect. Let's work towards perfection. Something else, the way it used to be, work used to be pleasurable, and then it became a chore. It was a joy to work. It was a joy to be in the garden. It was a joy to take care of the animals and the plants and whatever kind of care that they had to do, although all of that was kind of provided for them right there in the garden. But it was a joy, but it became a chore. You see, what happens is at the beginning it was do it all for God and do it all for others, and then it became all about something else. It used to be all about God and all about His creation, and then it became something else. Work became toilsome. And we complain about all we have to do. And then we say things like, I don't get paid enough, I work too much, I don't like what I do, blah, 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 blah. We live in a world where work is a pain. We live in a world where we do it because we got to live. And yet there are some in the world today that still love their work. I love my work, by the way. Thank you for giving me this opportunity and privilege. I love it. Oh, there's pieces of it, just like in anything else that you wish you didn't have. But I love my work. And I know there are a lot of you out there that love your work too. And if you love your work and do it for all the right reasons, then you're doing it the way it used to be rather than the way it oftentimes is. Work no longer was a joy, a privilege. It became a chore. Now I want to close with this because I want to bring us to the present. The present being that it's not the way it used to be. It is what it is today. We live in a fallen world. There is a future where it will be perfect again. What do we do in the meantime? I want to remind you that God loves us so much. It wasn't like God said, I'm going to add someone to my friend list on Facebook. And yet there's some people that seem to treat it that way. It's a lot more than adding a friend on Facebook. Here's another friend to add on Facebook. Or for that matter, you and I adding him as a friend on Facebook. You see, this friend is more than someone. It's just someone on the other end that can type in sweet nothings to you and vice versa. And if you don't like him, you can tap in some things you don't like about them or whatever. No, this is a whole different kind of scenario in Jesus Christ. Because I'll tell you what, when we have this friend changes lives. This friend changes our life. This friend is one who gives and gives and gives and gives and never stops. This one who came into being, who always was, but came to us in human form on Christmas Day and all the way through till Easter. He knew the way it used to be because he was before I am. He knew the way it used to be. And he came so that sometime, at some point in time, it could be that way again for us. This friend changes lives. This friend uncomplicates things. Isn't life complicated sometimes? Our sin and our selfishness messes things up so many times. But he uncomplicates things. He says, just give it to me. Cast your cares upon me because I care for you. No matter what it is that you're going through, no matter what it is you've been through, no matter what it is you're going to go through, he uncomplicates things because he said, I have fixed what your problem is. But the only way that you and I can get the fix is to put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking as an idea. Again, I'm not talking as a friend on Facebook. We need to accept what He did for us on our behalf, in our heart, not just in your mind, folks. So many people get it up here, but they never get it down here. He changes and uncomplicates lives. This friend truly does take our burdens. Some of our friends, when our burdens get too big, they cut tail and run, don't they? Jesus doesn't. He takes. I start off the first Sunday of January and I'm all messed up, huh? He takes our burdens. Man, it's great to be in a relationship with Him. You're an idiot if you don't. Oh, dear. He's a friend that pays for everything. You know how it is sometimes with our friends. We go in Dutch. He's a friend that pays for everything. He says it comes at no cost to you. The only cost to us is, would you be my friend? Would you be someone who loves me because I love you so much? That's all I want from you. And be obedient to the way I want you to live as best you can. This is a friend that never abandons you. Never, ever abandons you. In the deepest of times, in the worst of times, in the most horrific things you're into, in the most horrible sins that you'd ever could fathom to commit, He will not abandon you. Just come to Him and confess. I blew it again, God. I blew it again. And like I said in the first point on this one, this friend changes lives. This friend will transform you. You'll never be the same. You'll never, ever be the same. So, folks, even though we're in a messed up world, in a fallen world, where partnership became hierarchy and relationship became competition and pleasurable work became a chore, we can get back to the way it used to be. Not perfectly in this life, but we will. But let's try as best we can, because blessings, joy come with that. And people out there who don't know that will be attracted to that. I think there's a problem sometimes when the church doesn't seem very attractive. Maybe it's because we're not living the way we should live. Just a thought, folks, for 2019. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much that you are correcting what we messed up. God, it was in your plan from the beginning. And God, in this case, I want it to be the way it used to be. Help us to get there in Christ. Because God, we cannot do it alone. Millions and millions have tried and failed. The solution is Jesus and Jesus alone. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so, God, as we spend our last few moments together in this service this morning, we celebrate that as we celebrate Holy Communion. We will be reminded that it's through Christ's death and resurrection that we have life. So we celebrate that in the precious name of Jesus, the Christ child, the Lamb of God. Amen.